Lou Manfredini here. Do you have cracked or sunken concrete areas around your home? Call PermaSeal for a free estimate. Don't replace it, raise it. Call 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
Behind the Badge, Illinois, where we talk about different topics impacting and affecting law enforcement and get the leadership's point of view as to what's going on. Previously mentioned, I'm David Hochberg, Team Hochberg, looking to purchase a new home, refinance your existing home. Give me a call, 855-56-DAVID, 56david.com. Tune into Homes in Chicago, hosted by me Saturdays on WGN 10 until 1. Okay, we got that out of the way. Disclaimers out of the way. All right, love in the workplace. We've got two officers, newlyweds, Officer Cooper and Officer Cassis, up in DeKalb. They work with Dave up in DeKalb, where my alma mater is at Northern Illinois University. And we've got Captain Mojis. Got it right.
Got it.
Silent J, who is married to a... Is she leadership at ISP, or what's her position at ISP?
She's a telecommunications supervisor down here in Troop 8, which is the Metro St. Louis area here.
Got it. Dave said that was the weakest when he was part of ISP.
I did not say that.
Do you want to comment on that or no?
Look at him starting fires. Don't listen to him. Ignore it. Right,
so let's start this off. Dave, you want to introduce your officers, buddy, and tee it up, and then we'll have Kirk introduce Mike and start that off. Again, we have Chief Brogelman down O'Fallon. We have Chief Bird up and out in DeKalb, and they're our chiefs for this call. Dave, your dime, your dance floor, buddy. Take it away.
All right. Hey, thank you, Dave. So we're going off the beaten path today. So I know we usually talk about law enforcement issues. That's really the focus, and we try to keep it as upbeat as possible. But with Valentine's Day being tomorrow, we decided that we would put on a podcast regarding love and law enforcement. I know it's, at least for me, I've seen this over and over again with Illinois State Police. Of course, we had a lot of unions that developed at Illinois State Police. Just like Mike is married to a telecommunicator with Illinois State Police, we had same situation in the district that I ran. We had officers who got married, met, just like Diego and Betsy have done. They met at the DeKalb Police Department. So their union started here, and then they decided to get married. It's been awesome to watch. I'm very excited for both of them. They're fantastic police officers, but they're even better people. So that's the good part. And then they decided to get married here, and we're very excited for them. But I'm going to turn it over to them today to give their testimony whenever you're ready. I mean, kick it to them. Yep.
So how long have you guys been married?
A little over a year and a half.
Little over a year and a half. And how long were you working with each other before you started dating?
I wasn't an officer yet. I was
no,
a CSO.
So we met when she was a CSO here. So I got hired in February 2020, and she was already working here as a CSO. So before she was an officer, we met, and then kind of went from there. But we were already together before she was sworn in as an officer here. So
how? Because you're a training officer, right, Officer Cooper?
We both are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you both are. Mm-hmm. Okay. So do you guys train the same people, or are you on different ships? How does that work?
We're on the same shift. We haven't trained anybody, the same person yet, but they kind of try to keep it that we're both on day shift, so that each new person is getting a mix of each shift. So there wouldn't really be a way that we would train the same person anyways, ideally. So that they would get to experience each different shift.
Got it. Dave, how does that work from a leadership position, having two officers with PTO and all of the different things that go on that Kirk has covered and you have covered on these podcasts the past year with all the events? How does that impact your scheduling and your laying out your day and making sure there's coverage? How does that impact you having two officers who are training officers, right, which are highly specialized officers, How does that impact, you from a leadership position?
Well, I mean, one of the things, and I'm okay with this, that they work the same schedule, because that means they get to spend more time with each other. I can't, although, my job, of course, is to run the department and make sure that we function appropriately and effectively, switching them or making, hey, look, you have to work a different shift than your husband. That doesn't benefit their relationship long term. I'm more concerned about that with them. So the fact that they can eat together is important to me. Like, it really is, that they spend time with each other. And then at some point, not to throw it out there, I don't know what their intentions are about having children, but if they decide to have children, things could get a little bit complicated then, because they might want to be on different shifts just to handle childcare and all that. So whenever that time may or may not come, I'll leave that to them, of course. But so for me, I'm excited that they work the same shift. It doesn't cause any issues for me as far as the field training program. Like I said, if they end up training the same person, that's fine. I know they'll be impartial and be fair when it comes to that, because that's just who they are. So in a lot of ways, not a lot of issues for me personally. I'm excited to, like I said, they work together. I know, and they might want to discuss a little bit more. I know when they're going to calls, I mean, there have been some really dicey calls, high impact calls here in DeKalb, where either Betsy's going to it as a primary and then Diego has to assist, or vice versa. So maybe, you guys want to kind of give the audience an idea of how that is, especially since it's your significant other who's going to the call, and it's might be shots fired or something more, or something serious to that effect. What's that like responding when your partner is the primary unit on those type of calls?
I would kind of say, to kind of address the first point, and not to kind of like talk ourselves up or anything, but I feel like, unless it's been something that neither of us have heard up to this point, I have never heard an issue from a supervisor or anyone that we worked with as far as our relationship goes and then being in the workplace. I feel like we both work very hard here and are very dedicated to our positions. So I've never heard an issue as far as us being on the same shift or working together, which I think is why probably I would guess it hasn't come up as far as like splitting us up, is because there is no issue. I would say that we act normally, here as we do with other coworkers, and it hasn't caused any issues. So that's just kind of like our take on it. We've talked about it before too, but we enjoy working together. I enjoy working with her. It is a different dynamic when you work with your spouse in this career field as opposed to others. And we've talked about the next question quite a bit. I'll kind of let you talk more about that as far as us going to calls, but I just think it's important to bring up, because I feel like a lot of people in a lot of different positions would probably, from the outside looking in, would think like, hey, it's going to be an issue or something. And I have never once heard that. And I don't think you have either. But just to kind of address that kind of overarching kind of viewpoint from, like, again, the outside looking in, that people may think that, but that definitely is not the case. So, but I'll let you kind of address the other part of that question.
Yeah, there's been, agree with what he said, but there's definitely been calls where when you hear it on the radio, like, oh, this is going to be a no shit call, pardon my French, but, and you hear like, oh, well, 11's en route. It's like, if he gets here first and you hear shots fired, like that has happened, hearing shots fired on a call, and you think like, oh my God, like, is something happening? But at the end of the day, I also know, like, it's easy to say we trust our coworkers here in general, but it's nice to go to calls that are involved calls and knowing that you can trust, like, I'd trust him to be protector if I was ever shot or something like that. It's nice to also have those that you know in 100% confidence that that person's going to be there to protect you at the end of the day, more so than anybody else that you're working with on the streets, and still do our job because we both understand it. We both get it at the end of the day. But it could also be fun to go home and talk about, I mean, nobody else knows the job better than each of us do, and to be able to go home with those things at the end of the day too. We don't make it all about work, because we do spend a lot of our time here, obviously, so we don't talk about it all the time at home. But it's kind of nice to, like, either vent, or we can just talk about funny things that happen. Like, did you see that? Yeah, that was funny. Whatever.
How much of the venting is about Chief Bird?
How much of the what?
How much of the venting at home is directed towards Chief Bird or what Chief Bird has done or should be doing?
Bobby wouldn't say even if there was. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great chief, and we have no bad things to say about him, to be honest. So.
All right, I read the Morse code, but they're right. 90% of what they talk about at home is about
Hey,
Chief
Bird. right here, Dave. That's hey, man. That's my people. Don't do that, Dave.
Just blink twice if you say.
You need help.
All right, Chief Brogelman. Let's bring in Captain Mojis.
Hey,
got it right.
Nailed it.
I want everybody to know. Prior to starting this, I said I introduced him as Moses, but the Z is silent. So, Captain Mojis, why don't you introduce your captain and lead into the questions we're going to pester him with?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Captain Mojis has been with us for, 23 years now, 24 years?
24.
24 years. He came up through our organization, and he is currently married to a telecommunicator with the Illinois State Police, and she actually got her start with the O'Fallon Police Department way, way back when. And I believe that's where you guys met. And I'll kind of let him go into that. And we'll get into a little later, but I'm a little different than Chief Bird. I'm kind of the anti-Cupid in that we actually have a policy that you cannot
fraternizing.
No, you cannot work or be in a relationship with a significant other or somebody that works within the same organization. So it's an interesting thing. I have a different take on it. I've seen a lot of different things, and I've seen things go really well at different departments, but we have had a history of things not going well at our department. So we try to keep that out of there. And it's a challenge. And I think it's interesting to talk to them about the different challenges like shift work and all that stuff. So Mike, if you want to talk about, Lisa, I know she's working on a console today, so rebut anything you say.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with the department 24 years. I met Lisa probably about 4 years, about a year before then. So at the time, she was one of our telecommunicators here, and I was working in this civilian kind of part-time summer job as a park ranger where you just kind of patrol the parks as a kind of a civilian. So I met her at that point, and then our relationship developed. I wound up getting hired here as a police officer in 2000. And then shortly after there, she had the opportunity to go to state police. Prior to working for our department, she actually worked for the sheriff's department starting at like 18. So she had experience at the sheriff's department, worked municipal here. Shortly after I got hired, she left to go to the state police. She just thought it would be a great opportunity. She's really good at what she does, and I don't give her enough credit or say those things enough, but she's really good at being a telecommunicator. And she's been now with the state police almost 24 years as well, and she's one of the supervisors or the supervisor down here in the communication center in Troop 8. So,
and it's a little different, and Dave, you probably asked him about this, like, as where Officer Cooper and Casas, they work together and they see each other all the time. I'm sure there's days that there might be a week where Mike, for a while there, wouldn't necessarily see Lisa, but maybe for an hour a day or something like that because of different shifts.
That would happen quite often. And it was interesting whenever I was young, we rotate here every 3 months from days to night. So, occasionally our paths would cross, but then she might be on a fixed schedule for a year and working overtime because of staffing issues. There might be times where we didn't see each other, our paths didn't cross for a couple days. And one of the reasons, like, she wanted the opportunities that the state police provide, but she also wanted to kind of be away from me. It gives her an opportunity to go to work, do her thing. But at the end of the day, one of the nice things is, like, we can both come home and decompress about our days. I know many of the cops or police officers will say, well, I don't go home. I don't tell my spouse about what happens at work, especially some of the bad things that happen at work. And I think that's the unique thing about having somebody in law enforcement that you can confide in. Because we're not at the same department, she has different things going on in her world. I have different things going on in my world when we can both decompress. And there's pretty much nothing I can't tell her at the end of the day. Even those absolutely horrific calls, she can handle that because she's been through almost the exact same type of things, only on the end of the radio.
Chief Brogelman mentioned to me prior to the call that the time that you didn't see your wife during that 1 or 2 week period of time, that was the strongest part about your relationship. Would you agree or disagree with that statement?
It definitely makes those times that you do see each other more valuable. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more, but the nice thing, you know, my wife has always been my biggest supporter, so I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for her, whether it was when I first started here, and maybe, you know, law enforcement has not been easy for me. Some people it comes natural for, but it took me, it took a little extra work for me to get where I was at. And whether that was just, you know, learning how to be a good patrol officer, or, you know, the trials and tribulations of being a new canine handler, or whatever the case may be, new supervisor. It's always nice to have that sounding board that you could trust. Always have that person in your corner, rooting for you and cheering for you. And, you know, last year I went away for 11 weeks to the FBI Academy, and she was here running the whole show while I was gone. So that's not uncommon. And, she's, like I said, I got to give her kudos. She's great at what she does, and she's always been my biggest supporter.
Kirk, you want to follow up with any other questions before I throw it over to our officers up in DeKalb?
No, I think he covered a lot that I was going to cover. So go on.
Yeah, well, I got a quick question. What does a telecommunications officer for the Illinois State Police ISP do?
Okay, so she's in a supervisory role, so she's kind of filling both roles at this point in time. Staffing issues kind of, you know, plague us all, so she's kind of filling both roles. So she's doing all the management aspect of it, scheduling payroll, that type of stuff. But then the other times, like today, she was filling in on a council. Maybe if they have a detail going on and they need an extra body and they don't have somebody to call in. She's definitely a team player, not only at home, but at work as well, trying to work some of the extra shifts to make sure that her people get the time off that they need and work with them. So a lot of it is answering the phone calls. You know, they don't have 911 terminals here, but they do have emergency lines. So she's answering emergency calls, non-emergency calls from the motoring public. She's getting transfer calls from all of our other PSAPs around here, like the one we have here in O'Fallon, the transfer 911 calls to them. So she's getting all those calls, filtering in. She's, you know, dispatching all the troopers to where they need to go. Sometimes when they have details that are going on for the state police, like if they have a detail, it might not be uncommon to have 18 to 20 cars on her band at a given time that she's responsible for, while managing the phones and everything else that's going on with that. And then if somebody gets into a pursuit or has a big emergency going on, then she's handling the, you know, the ISPRN traffic or the regional emergency traffic here in the area as well.
So one of the things Mike mentioned when he was talking, he said PSAP. And just to give everybody some clarification, a PSAP is a public safety answering point. Those are the 911 centers throughout the state. So if a 911 call comes into O'Fallon and it's something that's on the interstate, then our 911 dispatchers will then either call or transfer that line to the Illinois State Police telecommunicator, so that way they can dispatch a trooper out to a crash on the interstate or something that's going on there. So that's what a PSAP means for everybody else.
Interesting.
Thank you, Kirk.
I've done that up here. I'd be on the Edens heading into Chicago. Dave knows, Chief Bird, and I see something's in the middle of the Edens Expressway. 911 goes to Northbrook, then transfer to ISP instantaneously. It's a pretty impressive system when you think about it. So, you know, the cell towers bing and everything goes. So let's go back to the DeKalb officers, Cooper and Cassis. When you first started dating, was there any type of hesitation to make it public? Did you keep it under wraps? I mean, how did you handle the initial steps of the relationship, you know, with your coworkers? And was Chief Bird the leadership at the time, or was there different leadership? Was this before Chief Bird took command?
It was before Chief got here. Yeah. We dated for a little bit. Yeah. I would say like privately before it came out. I mean, shortly after we were like dating, I left for Academy.
We've had some technical difficulties and the officers will be re-signing in. So when you took over, right, Kirk's got a policy no fly zone, right?
Correct.
When you came, yeah, and I get it. I dated a lady that I work with. I got married. It was a disaster and made for uncomfortable. Had a cup of coffee. Boom, got out. Learned a lesson there, right? Rorschach test. I put my current wife through a Rorschach test and a set of bank of tests. And she failed. That's why we're still married. But when you came in, so I understand your position, Kirk. I get it. But when you came in, was it a different policy before you became chief?
Yeah, there was no policy in regards to dating within the workplace. And Illinois State Police doesn't have it. I mean, I will tell you, there's some old policies on the books with ISP, Illinois State Police, that believe me should be, I mean, no one believe me. They should get rid of them. They're so outdated, it's ridiculous. So, because ISP, like I said, you have people dating all the time, and it makes sense. It's a natural progression because you work with someone every day. You have all these relationships, Dave, from officer to telecommunicator, officer to civilian personnel that work in the building. I mean, you see them all the time, man. It's a natural occurrence, especially with a department as big as the Illinois State Police, Chicago Police Department. My brother is a commander with CPD. His wife is CPD. Mimi, my best friend, she retired from Illinois State Police. Her husband retired from Chicago Police Department. These interactions, these connections just happen, organically. These things just happen. So I wasn't shocked to find out that Officer Cooper and Officer Costas were dating. Like I said, in my opinion, it's a natural occurrence. I'm not going to get in the way of that because I know these guys and girls work together for sometimes 16 hours at a time, and they become very fond of each other. And then when it gets to a point of where you say, hey, you know, you want to go beyond your friendship, I mean, who am I to get in the way of that? I'm not going to do it. I understand Kirk's opinion on it, and I'm just the opposite of that, man. I'm not going to get in the way of a natural occurrence, man. It's just the way things happen. So I let that ride, and I'm excited for them. I truly am, and they're doing they do a great job for the PD, but I love watching their relationship develop, and I'm sure at some point, like I said, hopefully it'll lead to them having a beautiful family and moving forward from what they have right now. And I will say, Dave, we have officers. We have another officer who is married to a DeKalb County sheriff, so we have that connection. But they work within the same framework of the county. So we have an officer here whose wife is a dispatcher. So they work hand in hand every day. So, Diego and Bessie aren't the only relationship that we have where it's law enforcement related.
All right. Let's go back. Thank you for signing back in. We kind of, Diego, you kind of froze there. And so let's ask the question again. When you started dating, what was that dynamic with keeping it amongst yourselves? Did you tell coworkers? Did you tell your supervisors? Did you stay on the down low? What was that about at the beginning? And then when did you make it known, coming out is probably the wrong word, but wrong phrase. But when did you make it known to other officers and your chain of command?
I think, to be honest with you, I think people knew immediately. I mean, once we were officially together, I mean, we had Facebook, so there was that. But we didn't hide it, if that's what you're asking. We were pretty upfront about it. We weren't ashamed of it. So I think it worked fine for us.
Yeah, I mean, in the beginning of our relationship, like I said, I don't know if this made it on there, but I was gone at Academy towards the beginning of our relationship. So we were moved in, but would only see each other on the weekends, as a lot of people that go through that situation do. And then we were on opposite shifts. Obviously, when I was going through FTO, and then when I was on my own, we were on opposite shifts for a while, about the first year or so of our relationship. So, after I got off.
Where we would only see each other in passing, being on different days or different shifts. I mean, I was kind of saying in the beginning, I don't know if you're able to hear me, we're on the same shift now. But, it took a while for us to get to the point where we have this, the days off that are good that we can both take and stuff like that, as we hire more people. But definitely wasn't always like that. Like it was said earlier, it's a challenge, but made our relationship stronger. And, I don't regret any of it, but now that we have the opportunity to spend more time, we enjoy it. We have no issue with it. And it's nice to, you know, have dinner together at home, to have that time. So
is it true that, Chief Bird only allows one of you to take off for vacation, so you can't vacation together?
No, just came back from one, actually. So I can tell you that.
Yeah, you guys did. It looked, and they had a blast. I followed them on Facebook, of course. And like I said, I really and truly, Dave, but I tell you, I enjoy watching their relationship develop. This is an extremely positive thing here at the Cal Police Department. Not just them, but like I said, the other officers that are married here. So many people are starting their families too, Dave. We have like a little bit of a baby boom going here at DeKalb where, you know, they all beginning to have their first child. Some of them working on their second child. And it's just, you know what, they become a member of the DeKalb Police Department family. I send every one of them a big box of diapers when they have a child. And you know, just so they know I care. I mean, it's a small token, but I want them to know that I appreciate them and that the fact that they're having a baby means a lot to me. So
that's the best gift that you could give, right? I mean, forget about diapers. All the other stuff. Diapers, butt cream, and butt wipes.
There you go. Those three.
Right. And then you go into the baby aisle and get it for them, right? After you buy it for yourself, you then go into the baby aisle.
Yeah. With me, hey, I just turned 58, so you're probably right.
I'm not judging.
No, brother, I get it. You're correct.
Right, Amazon, male diapers, and then like, oh, yeah, I got to get those guys something. I understand. It's fine. You just make sure that shipment comes to your house, and then the baby stuff goes to your officer's house. Well, let's go to Officer Mojis. What was the biggest challenge for you when you started your relationship? Was Chief Brogman there when you started the relationship with your wife?
He was here. Yeah. I don't know what role you were in. You probably were an officer.
I was a patrol officer. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't have those rules back then either. Yeah. There's a lot of interdating going on in the department, and, it was free flowing and everything was great until it wasn't great, but Mike is a success story, and we've had several success stories, but for every success story, we've probably had three crash and burns. So that's kind of where that policy comes in. But yeah, I'll let you take it from there, Mike.
Yeah. And I think it's a great segue here when you're talking about challenges, because one of the biggest challenges that we faced was kind of childcare, like deciding when to start a family, because we were both working different shifts sometimes, very rarely working the same shift. I don't even think it was like 17 years on before I actually got to like a straight shift, and I got to see daylight consistently all the time and have weekends off. So we're finally at the point where she's in her career and I'm in my career, and we actually get a lot of time together here. But one of the biggest challenges was deciding when to have a family. I think at the time, neither one of us were really pressing forward, like we have to have kids right now. It just kind of happened. And we kind of, I know for us, it was very, very strategic. I would say that like my parents are married, and they were both getting kind of retired by the time we were about like 35. Lisa's parents are divorced, but they still get along. So we have like these three sets of parents here that we can rely upon that were all kind of retired or getting ready to go into retirement. That we could count on and rely on to help with childcare. There was times that Lisa might have to be at work at 7 o'clock in the morning. So she would wake the kid up at 4 o'clock in the morning when he was an infant, put him in the car seat, get him in the car, drive him like 30 miles to where my parents were living at the time, drop him off, go work her shift from like 7 to 3, and then turn around, go pick the kid back up, and then drive all the way back home, which was awful taxing at the time. But, you know, as my parents move closer, we have all of our parents right here who are more than willing to help out. That made it easy. But we kind of waited to the point where we knew we had that support system, because I don't know who you're going to find to, you know, watch your kid overnight sometimes. That's a little bit difficult. Or being on one partner's on night shift and the other one's on days. And, you know, the day shift person's trying to, on their off day, they're doing childcare stuff. But you know, when they're working, then that night shifter's off, they're trying to take care of the kid too, which is kind of difficult. So we were lucky to have that support system that made it a little bit easier to do.
Well, plus you have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to decompress, you've got to have your mental wellness, right? You want to You want to just chill out. And with the baby, you know, forget about it. That's how that, I've done loans for firefighters that were married to police officers and police officers that were married to firefighters, right? Firefighter, 24 on, 48 off, right? Police officers, you're on 3 days, you're off four, you're on 4 days, you're off three, or whatever schedules you guys have. It could be very challenging. It could be very challenging. So I'll throw it down. I'll throw it out to the Cal. You know, not putting you guys on the spot, but putting you guys on the spot. Have you thought about, you know, what would happen if you started a family? And if you don't want to talk about it, we won't talk about it. We'll just move on to something else, like Kurt's hair care treatment, because it's looking fantastic today. Have you talked about that, or have you spoken with other officers who have had kids and how they're handling it? You know, what are those conversations like between you two?
Well, I would say the unique challenge for us is that our families are very far apart as far as like distance from each other. My family is obviously from Chicago, so that's where they're all at, and hers is way out west toward Iowa. So that presents a unique challenge in and of itself. But I would say us being both like officers, we do make pretty good money. So I'm not super concerned about like having to hire childcare if we have to. But again, the nice flexibility about our job is that we can work in like night shift if we need to cover that other end of it. So that, you know, 24 hours in a day is taken care of or whatever. So that's kind of the nice thing about it. And yeah, we've obviously talked about it. So,
yeah. Officer Cooper, what part of Iowa?
They're not from Iowa. They live close to Iowa, like Provincetown, Linden area.
Okay, because my daughter goes to Iowa City, and driving out there, I could tell you sometimes getting out of the city and you driving to Iowa from DeKalb, it's faster to go to Iowa. You know, you got no traffic going to Iowa, but getting out of the city to come to DeKalb, it could take 2.5-3 hours, and you get to Iowa a lot quicker from DeKalb than you could. So, well, that's interesting. I mean, have you talked to other officers about their experience and how they handled it, or are you guys just handling it internally between the two of you? Those conversations.
I have. I would say, like, as a female officer, it's very different. Obviously, I'm not a mother like at this time. We do have dogs, so we balance that. But I think being a mom in law enforcement obviously is a very taxing toll for a lot of the other officers that I've talked to here, kind of expectations. But obviously, women are like expected a little bit different in some relationships, whatever, of like, well, if the kid's sick, then mom's got to call off or whatever. I'm very fortunate that Diego is a very equal partner, always has been. That's not like, oh, well, she's just got to do all that kind of stuff. But I know that it's not true for every female police officer, not per se here, but just in general, expectations can be a little bit different. So we'll play that out when we get there. But definitely fortunate that we're pretty equal on those parts, and we'll both be willing to make those commitments, whatever they are, when they do come.
I don't think my kids would have made it to the age of three if I had to be in charge of when they were sick, with number one, having the patience for that, and number two, medication and all that stuff right over my head. So love my wife. Again, thank God I'm married, and because the physical safety and mental safety of my kids when they were sick, having me be the primary caregiver, probably not the right thing, because that's not my specialty. So let's go over to Kirk again. Kirk, when you made that policy of no fly zone with relationships, because obviously you had bad experience, mm-hmm. right? I mean, everybody's got, I mean, again, I was married to the vice president of the company that I work for, right? For about 5 months, we had a cup of coffee, then boom, we were on the shrink's couch, and then we were out. But that's a whole other story for another day. But I was in Chicago, she was in Cleveland. So I made it, after we split up, that's where she was from, she went back. So it made it a little easier. What was the reception from your officers when you came in with that no fly zone?
Yeah,
on relationships.
Yeah, so people who were already in relationships were kind of grandfathered into that, you know, and we didn't really have a whole lot. I think there was a pretty good understanding because they saw some of the things that had happened within our organization. that got really ugly between people going through divorces and different things like that. It still happens. I'm usually the last to find out about it because obviously, like Chief Bird said, sometimes you just can't stop love. It's just going to happen. You're going to be around all these people this whole time. So, you know, it's not like we're firing anybody or anything like that, but we try to work through these situations. And we're not a big enough department that you can just kind of reassign somebody to another area because everybody works together. So it's going to happen at some point, and we try to work through it the best we can. You know, it's a challenge, and I've seen it happen with other, and I think that's probably the biggest challenge when you have those police officers or, you know, first responders working together in those shifts. And when you do have children and trying to figure out how you're going to do that, how you're going to balance all that. So kudos to you guys. It's going to be awesome. You guys got a lot of work ahead of you, but it's going to be very rewarding in the future for that. But for the most part, some people don't like the policy, but I think they understand it because they've seen what's kind of going on, you know, and it's kind of just been that way for a while. It actually happened under the former chief, and I've embraced it. Just
okay.
It saved the drama for your mama, I would say.
And Chief Bird, you're a big proponent of it. Obviously, you haven't had challenges, but you know, you've been around. You're 58. You got into it when out of college. You know, you've been a law enforcement all the time. You've seen good, like Mimi, your best friend and counterpart. You know, has been on the podcast. ISP, you guys rolled together with ISP. Her husband, CPD. I mean, that all worked out good. You know, we had her on talking about their relationship. But, you know, just in closing, what would you tell other chiefs about the prior chief's experience in O'Fallon and your chief and how to balance that? You know, a new chief coming in that doesn't have a policy or has a loosely written policy or is having challenges. How would you tell a chief or other law enforcement officers who want to ascend up how to deal with that challenge?
Yeah, so, man, Dave, I, you know, like Kirk said, I mean, there are some, believe me, we had Illinois State Police, we had a watch commander who had rank. He was always going to outbid everybody for a position, so nothing you could do about it. His wife had tenure, so she would bid for the desk, so they would work together every day. And you would walk up to that desk sometime, Dave, and it would be like you were in a battle zone between them two. And it was just like, holy, you know. So today, I mean, to Kirk's point, I've seen a few of those too, believe me. And they were, I mean, they're yelling about stuff at home and they're yelling about it at work. It's like, dude, this ain't, I'm like, you guys need to calm it down a little bit, you know. And, but the labor rules, I mean, it wasn't nothing we could do about that, Dave, to be honest with you. I mean, he was bidding, she was bidding. They both had time on the job. I mean, it was crazy. And they did end up eventually getting divorced. But they had been together for years. So it was just one of those things, that kind of one of those water roses type things. But so I know these things can occur. I know that some situations don't always turn out, you know, fantastic. I get it. But there are also a ton that do. So that's why I'm so excited to see, Diego and Betsy, you know, in their relationship. I'm always going to support them, Dave. I am. They all know this. I'm going to support them with anything, relationships that they have or they try to develop here at the PD, as long as it doesn't affect what we do here every day, which is provide public safety, serve and protect, all the cliches you want. As long as we can get that done, and like Kirk said, without the drama, we don't need that. If it starts to develop, we're going to have a conversation. That's just okay. The way it is. And I got no problem with bringing in, an officer and a dispatcher, two officers, officer and someone who works in our records division and say, hey, look, if you guys are going to do this, you're going to have to do it the right way because we're not going to have, we can't have this affect what we do here at the police department. That has to come first. And I think they all would be understanding of that, that standpoint, Dave. But like I said, I'm excited. We got a baby boom going here in DeKalb. I look forward to the next one. So,
all right. K, Captain Mogis, we'll come to you for closing comments, and then we'll throw it out to DeKalb for Officer Cooper and Cassis. What would you recommend with your experience, a successful experience with your wife that you met at O'Fallon PD? What recommendations with your vast experience with your successful marriage give to other officers like officers Cooper and Cassis as they develop their relationship, and if they have kids, don't have kids, whatever their decision is, you know, with your vast experience, what would you leave for the nugget of knowledge for other officers who are just starting out like these two officers in DeKalb or are thinking about getting into a relationship and mixing it up with, you know, internally with their police department, if it's allowed? You're done.
Okay. Wait a second. Is mixing it up? Is that the right word? Is that what it is?
We'll edit that out, you sick bastard. But right. No, take it everywhere. Well, right. Here, okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, to answer your question, mixing it up in any different way, shape, or form that you could interpretate mixing it up to mean.
Perfect.
There you go, O'Fallon Chief. Mike, right. You're go ahead.
So I'd say that it can be successful. Like Chief Bird said, my relationship with my wife has introduced me to a lot of people from the ISP. So I have a lot of relationships with those officers from the ISP. I know a lot of them. She knows a lot of the people at my department here. Like you said, there's a lot. One of the guys I went to the academy with worked for the ISP as a sergeant, and his wife's a lieutenant, and they get along just fine. Is it possible? Yeah, I totally understand Kirk's side of the view because I've seen those things here as well. Can it be done? Yeah, it can be done. But, you know, it's just not necessarily law enforcement. Anytime you have two people that are working shift work, and whether it's a police officer or a telecommunicator, another officer, a nurse, something like that, you're going to have two people that are always switching shifts here and not a constant schedule. It always is a lot easier if there's that one constant in the relationship. But, you know, it can be done. It just takes patience here. And if you got the right two people, I think you can have a successful life, successful career as well.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, Captain. Let's go and end it in closing. No pressure to end this on a high note, Officers Cooper and Cassis, but it's all the pressure's on you. What would you recommend to younger officers just starting out, building that relationship amongst each other in a police force who has a chief that allows that type of relationship? What would you offer to other officers that are watching this right now?
I would say, I mean, for me anyways, first and foremost is like having that maturity for yourself, you know, self-respect for yourself, to put your best foot out there for the other person in the relationship. And obviously we have a lot of younger people and a lot of younger people in law enforcement now, period. So I think like having that mental maturity and knowing what you want out of a relationship, I think is probably the most important thing, especially in hindsight, you know, looking at our relationship and everything's gone super well. Thanks, Chief Bird, for all the kind words also. We definitely do feel and appreciate everything that you've done for us here. But going back to us, I don't have much for advice. I mean, when it's your person, like, it's easy. It doesn't take a lot of work. So, but other than just for yourself, just having like mental maturity and, which I feel like you need in this job,
yeah,
my personal opinion, but for the other person too.
I think it makes a difference that departments too, we still work here and there's some days that we're working the same day and we barely see each other, but we still have the awesome thing about law enforcement is that we're both in it. We're both working. We're both going to go to calls, but we have things that we enjoy doing within this job that are totally different. So, you know, where I love doing domestic and animal stuff and he enjoys traffic stops and being out and being involved on calls, we can, you know, both do those things and have kind of some specialties and enjoy those out of each other and go to each other for advice when needed. And like he said, we've seen it too, but if you're going to be in a relationship in this field, it needs to be professional. I don't think myself or him ever want to make anybody else feel uncomfortable. And I would hope that we never have. But putting, you know, especially being FTOs and trying to be leaders, you know, maybe eventually someday, you have to make your coworkers feel comfortable. And, you know, it's not like lovey-dovey or any of that stuff at work. We're professionals. Like, this is our job, and then we have our time outside of work. So it's important to have it that way. And like you said, have that maturity to understand that.
All right. Well, thank you, Officers Cooper and Cassis and DeKalb. Thank you, Captain Moges.
I got it right.
And Chief Third and Chief Bruggeman, this has been another informative episode of Behind the Badge, Illinois. Please like and share if you enjoyed this podcast. Tune into future podcasts. And if you're driving around on Saturdays and want to hear a great show on WGN, tune in 10 to 1, Home Sweet Home Chicago, hosted by yours truly. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week and be safe.